Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, we need to realize that it was Jesus who established the church, not Peter. When He said, "You shall be called Peter," He used the Greek word Petros. And Petros is a small rock. And then when He said that upon this rock I will build My church, when He used rock there, He used the Greek word Petra. And Petra is a large rock made of many stones that are joined together to form a rock that is more significant than any other single rock could ever be. So Jesus did not found His church on a person, but Jesus founded His church on a profession of faith in Him as Lord and Savior. Now, as I stand in this pulpit for what ends my time as your interim pastor today, I want you to know that it's been a real privilege for me to serve Pine Drive for the last 8 months. I speak for Ruth and myself. Well, thank you. I speak for Ruth and myself when I say that we've learned to love all of you deeply. You've been a true blessing to us, and you will always have a special place in our hearts. I trust that we've blessed you even as you have been such a blessing to us. We covet your prayers as we seek the will of the Lord in the days ahead. Our membership is still here at Pine Drive, and we may be here for a while. We're just going to do whatever God leads us to do. Now, as Ruth and I take the next step in whatever God has planned for us, and as you who are members of this church take your next step with your new pastor who begins his ministry next Sunday morning, the question of the hour is this: where does Pine Grove go from here? And I believe the greatest days for Pine Drive Baptist Church lay ahead. And as you make a new beginning with a new pastor, I want to admonish you and I want to urge you to take the following actions. Number one, to begin with, never forget who you are. As you are an ecclesia, that's the Greek word for a local body of called out believers who have banded together for several purposes. Your purpose as a church is to worship the Lord. After all, Jesus is the head of this body. And your purpose as a church is to be involved in evangelism, reaching those who are lost and who are heading for an eternity in hell. Your purpose as a church is to support missions, locally and worldwide, and you have done that faithfully. And your purpose as a church is to fellowship and care for one another who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, you are God's people. God's people. You are the Lord's ambassadors representing Him before an ungodly world. Don't ever forget how important Pine Drive Baptist Church is. You are representing the Lord. You are a group who assemble together to go out and go forth and bring godliness into all of this chaos that's going on in the world. You are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't just ritualistically assemble several times a week to do church. You're more than that as a church. Dr. Tony Evans was the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas until last year when he resigned. And he resigned because of a situation that had occurred in his life years before, and he's under watch care now. I don't know if he'll return ever to that church, but I know he's still a member there. But a number of years ago, several years ago, he wrote a book entitled God's Glorious Church. And in the book, he made this observation. Listen to this. The church is the most important institution on earth. The church, and only the church, has been commissioned by the sovereign Lord to be His representative agency in history. It has been given the sole authority to unlock the treasures of the spiritual realm so that they can be brought to bear on the realities of earth. And he also added this, thus, as the church goes, so goes everything else. As the church goes, so goes everything else. Now let his words sink in. And remember, church, you're made up of many members. And every member of this body is absolutely vital to the body's health and to the effectiveness of the church's ministry. So, Christian, if you're not serving the Lord as you should be, you're not blessing the Lord and you're not blessing His church as you ought to be. Each one of you has been endowed by at least one spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit, perhaps more than one. And those gifts must be exercised in the service of the Lord in His church, or else the church will never have the life that it is supposed to have. Now, just how important are you as a member of this body to Pine Drive? Remember, as you go, church member, so goes the church. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And I want to read two verses that Paul wrote to the Christians there in the city of Rome. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to listen to verse 1 from the Amplified Translation. Paul wrote, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you to make a decisive dedication based on all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and all of your faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and your spiritual worship. It is surely the Lord's message to all of us that we do, as Paul said to those Christians in Rome, that we do the same thing, offering ourselves as living sacrifices so Jesus Christ can be Himself through our lives and we can be useful to Him as He reaches those who are lost in spiritual darkness. Now, not only are you to remember who you are as a church, then again, you need to take a second action, and here it is. I urge you to always support your new pastor and his family. For the past year and a half, the pastor search team worked prayerfully, and they worked diligently to bring the right man to serve the church as pastor. Believe me, the effort they put in was often trying, as one man after another was considered. And I'm sure that they looked at a lot of resumes, and they're still receiving resumes here at the church at this time. Now, two Sundays ago, Pastor Corey Page came to the church to preach in view of a call. A vote was taken, and the church issued the call, and he accepted the call. As he begins his ministry next Sunday, I urge you to commit yourselves to standing with him as he seeks to lead the church forward. Now, you've heard me mention, most of you, evangelist Mickey Bonner a number of times in the months that I've been here. He was a dear brother in Christ. He was a mentor in my life. We've all had mentors. And he blessed my life in so many ways. He's been with the Lord a number of years now. He was preaching in Knoxville, Tennessee, before 12,000 people, when all of a sudden he got a strange look on his face. I know he did that because I've got the video of his last sermon at home. And he was standing there and he got this strange look on his face. And then he just slumped down in the pulpit and died right there, preaching before all of those people. A later diagnosis determined that Mickey had passed away, passed into eternity, with a silent heart attack. And Mickey used to say, and I've said this several times to you lately, and I want to say it again, a church never rises above the level of the vision of the pastor of that church. And Jesus is the good shepherd of this flock named Pine Drive Baptist Church. And Pastor Page is going to be the under-shepherd. He's going to operate under the Lord and in the Holy Spirit. And as he serves as your pastor, I believe that he will earnestly seek the vision of the Lord for what he's to do to lead you in the days ahead. And you need to continually pray for him. I want you to understand, folks, the ministry is a difficult sphere of service. I read the other day that brand new pastors, they don't last but 3 to 5 years in churches before they give up and go out and find other means of employment. Vance Havner, the great Bible preacher, once said, "A preacher should have the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros." And he says his problem is how to toughen his hide without hardening his heart. So be sure and encourage Corey Page as often as you can. Work with him as he ministers daily. Work with him. And I want to say how much I appreciate the good work that has been done by others during my time here. I used to say, and I've jokingly said it to some of you already, I used to say that I was going to write a book one of these days with this title, "Who's Going to Lock the Doors? A Manual for Unsuspecting Pastors." Believe me, there's no need for a book like that here. It has been a joy to see the work that has been done. Of course, God's little handful ought to be expanded. So what I'm saying is, if you're not being in on the action right now, you need to get in on the action. There are people in this church, there's always a remnant, who carry such a responsibility, and they need others who will step up and say, "I'm going to work in the power of the Holy Spirit for this church," so that they can have someone help them with the burden that they carry. Now, then again, you need to follow your new pastor's leadership. Not only do you need to support him, you need to follow his leadership. Something else Mickey Bonner used to say, "A pastor tends the flock of sheep the Lord has entrusted to him." And here's the responsibility of the flock of sheep. Just say, baa, baa, baa. And when he said that, he was not trying to be facetious. Mickey was simply reminding church members that they must recognize the pastor who as a man who has God-ordained authority. And that doesn't mean that a pastor is to act like a dictator running roughshod over God's people. A man like that, I'll tell you what he needs to do. He needs to get out of the ministry immediately. If you should ever have a problem with your new pastor, don't go around talking to other people about him. Make an appointment with him. Go in and see him, and you'll get the situation worked out. The pastor leads the church, and he's going to answer for that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 17th verse. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Listen to part of this verse from the Amplified. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls, and they are guarding your spiritual welfare as those men who will have to give an account of their trust. So do every thing you can to allow your pastor to be the leader of the church. Now, what Paul said about himself is true for every Christian. In Philippians chapter 3, turn there with me. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Philippians, the third chapter, 13 and 14. Listen to what Paul wrote. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Listen, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in the third place, I admonish you to look forward and not backwards. Look forward and not backwards. Think about what Paul said. He said what he said about himself, and it's true for every Christian. Forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Be open to change. Never settle for the status quo. Folks, in case you haven't noticed it, change is a fact of life. I mean, just consider physical changes that have taken place in your own life. You and I are not physically what we were yesterday. And we're not going to be physically what we are today. Tomorrow, change is constantly taking place. I mean, there's nothing that can be more horrendous for me than facing me in the mirror first thing in the morning. Well, where did that bump come from? What happened there? Looks like my hair is thinning, you know. Got to do something. Lord, help! You know, but we all change, folks. Just think about how much things have changed. And someone said, a church not gaining ground is losing ground. So you've got to remember that. And also this, resistance to godly change in a church, which is birthed by the Holy Spirit. And let me say that again. Change which is birthed by the Holy Spirit, that leads to spiritual stagnation, and that leads to spiritual uselessness, ineffectiveness, and a total lack of the mighty power of God. Many years ago, Ralph Naber Jr., Dr. Ralph Naber Jr., who had a wonderful radio program, and now I saw on Facebook the other day that he's living in assisted living. He's an older man now. But he wrote a book entitled The Seven Last Words of the Church. the seven last words that he focused on are just as relevant today as they were when he first wrote that book. And here they are. We've never done it that way before. We've never done it that way before. Too many believers declare, we don't want any change. We like our comfort zone. Well, Pastor Page will eventually present some changes that will be a blessing to this church. I believe he will walk wisely as he determines under the Holy Spirit where the church is and where the Lord wants it to go. One Thursday morning, we had a GBA prayer meeting. We used to pray right upstairs here in the church when the associational office was over here at Pine Drive. And Dr. Jim Grant was sharing with us that day, and he made some remarks that are very applicable to the fact that we need to keep moving forward. He said the church he was pastoring, he got up and asked this question, who in this church is ready for a change? He said, only a few hands went up. And then he asked another question. Who here in this church is ready for progress? Boy, hands, he said, went up everywhere. All over the auditorium. And his point was this. God's people must understand there is no progress where there is no change. You've got to be open to change under the leadership of the pastor. And let me add one other point. Your pastor is going to be his own man in serving the Lord. So in supporting him, don't compare him with any other man who served this church as your pastor. Don't say to him, well, Pastor, we never did it that way before. Well, Pastor, let me say this. The pastors who were here are not on the scene anymore. The man who God has provided is going to be here to lead Pine Drive Baptist in the future, and you need to stay with him. Now, in the fourth place, I urge you, all of you, as a church, to stay continually alert to the strategy of Satan. What is his primary strategy? Very simple. It's divide and conquer. Be assured that there is no church, including this one, which is not the devil's special target. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the Lord's churches. And he hates every one of us who know Jesus and who are children of God. And Peter warned every believer and every church in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he is walking around. He is a roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. So divide and conquer. And he tries to do it this way. Here's his burning desire. Turn church members against one another. He's out to find some issue and start a war among the brethren. Start a war. And oftentimes, listen to this carefully, oftentimes he uses people who really believe that they are on the Lord's side, but they're not on his side. And only the Lord Jesus Christ knows how truly successful the devil has been doing in his evil work of destroying churches through divisiveness. What the members of this church must do is threefold. Number one, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Number two, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as you individually stand against the devil in victory, so will the church stand against the devil in victory. I say again, as go the members of Pine Drive Baptist, so goes this church. Submit to God and resist the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, and finally, in the third place, do what Paul declared in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. A submissive spirit in a church, it locks out any spirit of divisiveness that tries to move in. I remember an interim pastor in the church I attended in my college days. He was a professor at our seminary in Kansas City. He said to a church filled with university students and others, learn to disagree agreeably. Did you hear that? Learn to disagree agreeably. Folks, that will certainly put the devil and his demons on the run. And don't forget the words of Jesus. And on this rock, your confession of faith in me, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So the battle is over. The victory's already been won. Jesus did that when he took care of the enemy by going to the cross and paying the penalty for all of our sins. And our responsibility as a church is to impose on the devil the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ won. So be alert and don't give ground to Satan at all. We must all be careful of that, because he's ever trying to do what in our individual lives as Christians? Build a stronghold. Build a stronghold. And if there's a stronghold in your life, go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to deliver you and set you free and renew your surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, remember this. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Somebody else said, if you give the devil an inch, he'll be your ruler. All right, finally, I admonish you to stay true to the Word of God as a church. How vicious Satan is when it comes to God's Word. I mean, he incites the ungodly to constantly attack the Bible in multiple ways. Satanically inspired lies abound. Oh, the Bible's not the truth. The Bible's just a bunch of silly fairy tales. It's full of contradictions. Everybody knows that. It's racist. That's been a fairly new one. It was written by simple, misguided men, and the list goes on and on. Look how many new perverted versions of the Bible are being produced. How about gender neutral? You can't use he. You can't use she. You can't use man. All you can do is use people. How about the fact that there are some that say that God was not alone in creation? They take the word wisdom in Proverbs 8 and they turn that into the goddess Sophia. And Sophia, which is the word for wisdom, she helped God create the world. What a bunch of garbage. And then, it's not only that, but the very name of God. They deny his masculinity. You know, there's Bibles that say she in the place of he for God. This book is the Word of God. It was written by the Holy Spirit through spiritually inspired men. And we don't need ungodly man's new truth or demonic fabrication. We have all the truth we need right here. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the young preacher named Timothy. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then in verse 17, that the man, as I said, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, when it comes to any so-called new revelation, any new revelation that comes on the scene that plainly contradicts the Word of God and its teaching. Throw the revelation, throw that garbage in the trash, and stand with the Word of God. Now, there's no such thing as a final goodbye where Christians are concerned. One day, all of us who know the Lord, we're going to be members of that great family of God. And we're going to be gathered together with one another in glory. We shall ever be with the Lord. And I want to say this. Ruth and I are looking forward to hearing great things about the ministry here at Pine Drive Baptist Church. And our prayer is simply this. May the Lord bless this church with a glorious future as all of you who are members walk in the midst of His will. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Now, I want to say this to everyone who's listened to this message, whether here in the auditorium or whether on Facebook or YouTube. Are you a member of the family of God? You are not a member of God's family unless you have repented and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Did you hear what I said? There's only one way to be right with God, and His name is Jesus. You must receive Him as your Lord and Savior, or you're not ready for the rest of your life, and you're certainly not ready for your journey into eternity. And listen to me, all of us are going to make that journey, and we don't know how soon it might be. So today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. This is the moment for you to open your heart and receive Christ if you've not done so. Not only that, but you may be here and your membership's in another church. And the Holy Spirit has said, this is where I want you to serve me. You'll find this to be a loving church with people who care. And so if you've never trusted Christ, let me help you to pray and receive Him right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pray this simple prayer with me. Whether you're here in the auditorium or you're viewing this message on Facebook or YouTube, pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many, many times across my life. But right here, right now, I repent. I know that means I turn from sin. And Jesus, I turn to You. I open the door to my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. And forgive me for all of my sins. I place my faith in You. I believe that You went to the cross and You were crucified to pay the penalty for my sins. And Jesus, from this day forth, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me, taking my place that I might be forgiven for all my sins. I am now Yours, and You are now mine. And I thank You that my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. In Jesus' name, amen.